Today, I want to finish with Revelation chapter 2. Sorry for the confusion last week. This our homework for this week is Revelation chapter 18 to 22. So you read it. I hope you are reading the homework. And I hope Jesus is speaking to you as much as he is speaking to us, reading his word. You know, we live in crazy time. You know, when you hear about stuff like what Kendra was talking about. Let's see. You know, about 20% of Americans now sees the Bible as just a bunch of words. You know, that's really sad. You know, about 40% of churches in America don't preach the Bible. You know how sad that is? Is the Bible offensive? Oh, yes. The Bible is very offensive. But when I say offensive, there's a verse here. This is a rabbit trail. I got to quick get in it on the rabbit trail and come back. 2 Timothy 3:16. And we believe this. We believe the word of God is true. 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us. See, there it is. All scripture, every word here is inspired by God. And it's useful to do what? To teach us. Teach us what? Teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. You know, we don't like this. Remember this good friend you have in your life that's always pointing out, tells you when you do good things too. But remember those people in your life that's just like, they can tell you the truth the way it is. Sometimes we don't like those people. You know? But how many times I told you, truth does sound like hate if you don't want to hear it. If you don't want to hear the truth, you think the person telling you the truth don't like you. You know, although the Bible tells us we need to speak the truth in love. So the Word of God teaches us the truth. I don't have a truth. You don't have a truth. Jesus is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. You see, so as this world's going crazy, as the day of our Lord getting closer and closer, it is extremely important for us as believers to be attached to the Word of God. I'll never stop saying that, because sometimes I feel like I'm just repeating myself. I told you this already. I want to be this little voice in your head. Or even making you feel guilty. You know? I am what they call the angel. I'm not. The context is, I am the pastor of this church. Sometimes you might see me in your dreams. You know, if God wants to talk to you, you might. It's okay. It's okay. You know, because God puts me here in your life to make sure, you know, you're on the right path. You're on the narrow path. The Christian path, the path that leads to salvation, is not popular. People don't want to hear it. To teach us. You can put that verse again. To teach us and to teach us. To teach us, it says, teach us and show us what's wrong in our lives. And then it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what is right. That's one thing I like about the Bible. The Bible is not just a condemning book. The Bible actually teaches us how to behave. You know, how to be good citizens. You know? And in the past 3 weeks, I've been talking to you about Revelation chapter 2. And today I want to finish that with the church in Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. If you open your Bibles, or you can have it on the screen. It says, I know all things, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand. I like this about, you know, one thing I like about the Bible, it's like an exam, all right? You take an exam. You know, God's like, okay, guys, do you want to be blessed? This is what you do. If you want to be cursed, this is what you do. But if I were you, I'd do this. You know, success, spiritual success is predictable as much as spiritual death or failure is predictable. Or good health. I mean, let's say a young kid, those young kids out there. We know smoking is not good for your lungs. Let's not even spiritualize it. It's just not good for you. It's a bad habit. It's a dirty habit. So any young kids who makes a habit smoking, they're going to destroy their lungs. So they're going to have when they get older, they're going to have a higher chance having all kinds of lung issues, you know, all kinds of issues. But if you're young, you're taking care of your physical body, there might be a higher chance you don't deal with certain things. Now, we also know because of this fallen world, we have people that never smoke in their life, never drink, they still have issues physically, right? But at least I'm saying this to encourage you to do the things God's asking you. God's giving us, it's like, the word's like, if you don't want me to come, Jesus saying, if you don't want me to come and remove the little light you have, you need to repent. And I believe the church needs to hear that message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins. And the thing is, if we say we don't have sin, man, you're fooling yourself. I cannot stand in front of you here and tell you I don't have sin. I've been justified. I've been justified by the blood of Jesus. I don't make a practice of sin. I don't go in sinning every day. But am I human? Oh, yes. Do I have thoughts? Yes. But what do? When those thoughts come, I bring them captives under the power of the blood of Jesus. So what do? When I deal with stuff, I repent. You know, it's very, it's kind of, when I read verse 5 where it says, Jesus says, I have this complaint against you. You stop loving me and people. And I thought about this last week. It is completely impossible to love people if you don't love God. Can I have a witness? I don't know about you, but for me, I find it totally impossible. It's even in your marriage, with your children, every relationship we have in our lives. It is totally impossible to love without God. Therefore, I need God. And you ask yourself, why is this world is a dog-eat-dog world? Dog-eat-dog. Cutthroat. People, they forgot how to be nice. Being kind. Kind to one another. And today I want to take this time, the title of my message would be Return to Your First Love, Part 1. But it's It's how do you rekindle your first love? How do you rekindle your first love? You know, what are some strategies? What are some things we ought to do? You know, you need to do the things you need to do so you don't regret. You gotta do the things you need to do. In relationship, physically, you know, spiritually, you've got to do the things you... And I tell you, the things we've got to do, they're not easy. You know, let's say going to work. Unless you really love to work, but sometimes it's a burden, right? To go to work, waking up in the morning, you know. Isn't it funny, sometimes the day you don't go to work, you want to sleep in and you wake up at 5 in the morning? You're like, I'm going to sleep in tomorrow till 8:30. 4 o'clock, you up. But on the days you have to wake up early, that's when the body doesn't want to wake up. You see, when we read Revelation in the letters to the church in Ephesus, over a long period of time, the church in Ephesus refused to tolerate sin among its members. And this is the third Sunday I'm going to repeat the same thing. We as believers, we need to refuse to tolerate sin in our midst. Don't sleep with sin. And I told you, it takes a lot of guts to confront your friends. They might not want to hear it. It takes a lot of guts, even for me as your pastor, if I see something that's not right, to address it. But I know I stand in the authority of Jesus Christ. You either repent or you're going to hate me more. So, it's about right. If you're following Jesus, seriously, wholeheartedly, on fire for Jesus, lover of righteousness, if you're loving Jesus, I tell you, this world, they're not going to like you. If you love truth, if you love light, if you love holiness, they're not going to love you. Because people want to hear what itch their ears. I believe more than ever, the Church of Christ should pick up their standard. For decades, we have lowered our biblical standard. And it is time. It is time. You know, there's a big conflict in Haiti between a couple of pastors online. And we pray for them. And right now, every time I hear the things going on, I'm like, Lord, the church needs to hear the word. Can you imagine? I have about 20 minutes, between 20 and 40 minutes to present you the word of God. And for me to come here and be talking about other things. No, this is a time, listen to me. If this would be the only time you would be hearing the word of God, I got to make sure I don't blow it. I got to make sure Jesus is going to be like, all right, you did your part. Now it's on them. That's why when I give you God's word, you make sure you apply it in your life. Because if you don't apply it in your life, it's just like you go to the doctor gives you a prescription, and you go and don't fill it. If you don't go and follow the doctor's prescription, you know what's going to happen to you. And a couple weeks ago, I talked about us wanted God's approval instead of people's approval. And we all, you know, this week we were talking to somebody trying to figure out what their issue, you know, we all have, a lot of people deal with the same issue. We love people's approval. We love to be approved by people. Is that how you say it? Yeah. We love others' approval. You know? That's why a lot of people don't have self-esteem. They have others' esteem. It's like they think more about what people think of them. Instead of having your own self-esteem, you know, look at yourself in the mirror. Like yourself. You know, don't worship yourself. But God created you wonderful. God created you perfect. He created you black, red and yellow, black and white. They are all precious in His sight. And when we read Revelation, we realize all nations, the Bible says all nations, every tongue, every people. You know how crazy it is for someone to be racist? Racism is straightly from the devil. And from the day one, every preacher should have stood against racism. To say, you know what, this is not right. This is not right. There's no color in God. There's no size. There's no shape. There's no tongues. We all speak different languages. We all see things different when it comes to culture. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. You see, when new believers first understanding the power and the love of God, they rejoice for their new born life, for their new life, or for the new revelation of forgiveness. I talked a little bit about that last week. I talked about your first love. Do you remember when you first became a believer? How on fire you were for Jesus. What happened? Have you lost your fervor? Have you lost, you know, it says here in the first steps of a Christian's life, people have enthusiasm without sufficient knowledge. They're excited. You know, we went to see, the kids went to a camp down in North Carolina, and we went to assist some of the decisions Ryan and Alyssa wanted to make. And just rededicated their life to following Jesus. Praise God. It's like we pray for that stuff. And when we see our kids are doing it, that's why they're not here today. They're somewhere giving testimonies. Yeah. But you know, when we went there, Thursday or Friday, one of those days, I saw excitement. But I understand the excitement. Because a lot of them are new believers. You see, your faith will always get tested. When you first fall in love, it's easy. You know, you want to serve, you want to open the door for the person, right? I don't know how it is for you, but that's how it was for me. You know, you want to do crazy stuff. But after a while, the love kind of wear off. The excitement wears off. But this is when knowledge kicks in. You know, and today I want to take some time to talk about how can I return to my first love? What are some of the steps I need to do? Jesus commends the Ephesians for their many good works and hard works. They tested teachers, false teachers, and I pray for that over our church. I pray that your spiritual lenses would be active. So when you hear false teacher, you can identify it. When you hear someone preaching gibberish, you know it. Why? Because you know the truth. And I told you, it's not enough on Sunday morning for 40 minutes for me to teach you the truth. You got to read the truth. Bathe in the truth. Meditate on the truth. Our service to God must motivate by the love for God. You don't love me or each other. I told you this. It's completely impossible to love people outside from God, especially people that you've invested in. There are people you've invested in who just took advantage of you. And you and I, at times, we want to kill him. Seriously. We want to kill him. But we can't. So therefore, since we can't kill him physically, we kill him in our hearts. We kill him in our hearts. And I was in front of the Lord again this week. asking God to just allow me to forgive and not kill somebody else in my heart. There's nothing like being accused for something you've never done. Being like wrongly accused, and it's like the person's talking like you've done it. Nothing like it. But what do you do? What do you and I, children of the light, what do we do? You know, and when God, when Jesus said in Revelation, I have this complaint for you, my people. You stop loving me and you stop loving people like you used to. You remember the story where the Pharisees came to Jesus? They're like, Jesus, let me ask you this. What's the greatest commandment? And when they asked Jesus that question, they knew exactly. They were trying to trap Jesus. 600, from 613 commandments. They're like, Jesus, from 613 commandments, which one is the best, is the greatest? Which one, that only one, if I do it, I got everything else covered. Well, Jesus said, well, you know it, guys, come on. Which one is it? Deuteronomy chapter 4, 6. Love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your strength, with all your heart. Love Jesus. Oh, then they're like, love God? That's cool? Nope. Oh, I bet some of them, the moment they hear Jesus saying, well, you got to love God. Oh, yeah, I love God. How many times you ask Americans, or people used to say America is a Christian nation. You love God? Yeah, I love God. You love Jesus? Yeah, I love Jesus. But how do you love Jesus? When you look at the word of Jesus, he says, if you love me, what do? You obey. If we love God, our lives shows the love. You see, it's not enough to just saying, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. And that's why the church has lost its lampstand. You know the lampstand stand for? The priest used the lampstand to light up the temple. You know how terrible it is when a church lost the ability to be the witness to this world? And that's what had happened in the past 5 decades. The church has lost the authority and the ability to witness to the world. Why? Well, we divorce just like everybody else. We lie, we cheat. You got statistics shows, men's in the church are in pornography, women in the church are perverted, you know, just like the world. I mean, you go to a job, you go to work, you can't make the difference between believers and non-believers. Love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your strength, with all your soul. And the Pharisees started to get excited. Jesus said, hang on, guys. I'm not done yet. There is another one. That one is equal to the first one. Because you can't love God unless you love people. And I tell you this, I struggle with this sometimes. Because sometimes I don't want to love people. Especially sometimes your family. Because the people you're close to, they hurt you the easiest. They're the easiest people that hurt you. I don't want to love. I don't know about you, but for me, I find it's like, I just don't want to love. Come on, Jesus. Me and Jesus, we're having a conversation. We're like, I don't want to love. It's not like I can't love, because I can do everything. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but I don't want to. Kendra knows me. There are times I don't want to love. I mean, I talk to myself, me and Jesus, and my soul and the spirit. We all have a conversation. I'm like, I don't want to do that. But what choice do I have? Because when I read the word, it says, if I live by the desire of the flesh, I die. But if I live by the desire of the spirit, I live. So therefore, what do? I go back in Matthew and I hear Peter asking Jesus, "Hey, Lord, so how many times am I supposed to forgive someone? 7 times, something like that?" Jesus like, no, it's not 7 times. It is 70 times seven. 490 times a day. Come on, Jesus. So there is enough. How many minutes is in 24 hours? Can somebody help me? How many minutes? I didn't do it. How many minutes is in 24 hours? Huh? 1440? We know it's completely impossible for us to be offended by one person every minute in one day. So, we see, Jesus got us covered. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your might. Love Him. Love Him with all your passion. What are you passionate about? I know some of us, we can't wait for football season to return. It's a good thing. I know some of us, we love our gardens. I know some of us, I don't know what you like. What do you do? It's like, man, you're so passionate about. It's like, yes. Have you ever met someone who's passionate about something? They're like, yes, passion. You know, when they talk about it, they come alive. This is the charge of God to His church. Jesus is like, return to your first love. Return, I tell you, when you, this church, Restoration Church, you return to your first love, there are certain work I'm done doing in your life. For example, give me my next slide. You know, understand the purpose of doing the first works. Works involve effort and intentionality. So therefore, my next slide, I put a list. Just a simple list. Some things that we should probably be doing. Those things would increase our intimacy with Jesus. Thinking about some of the things. What are some of the things that I need to do that would keep me on fire for Jesus? Well, worship. I need to worship Him. I will. We don't. In our democratic mindset, we don't understand worship. Because in our democratic mindset, when we see the president, oh, Mr. President, can I take a selfie, Mr. President? Can I take a selfie with you, Mr. President? Why? Democratic. Kingdom mindset. When the king comes, everybody does what? That's it. That's it. The kingdom of God is not democratic kingdom. It's not democracy. The king rule. But then something I understand is when I yield my will to the king, he said, "You're not my slave. And I am your king. You're my friend." So therefore, I worship Jesus willingly. I give Him my all. We don't understand worship. Undivided attention. At home. I mean, I do have a verse. Did I give you that verse, right, Sharon? Let me pull it up here. It's Psalm 27. He says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord. One thing I desire, one thing I need is to dwell in your house forever." In your house. Think about it. Which house they're talking about? Remember, it's not just the building here, but also God dwells in you. So when you are in your car, let me tell you this. It's not religion. What do you listen to all throughout the week? Do you create yourself an atmosphere of worship? An atmosphere where, man, I'm always in awe of God's presence. Have you ever been in your car and just maybe in the quietness of you and God and His presence just overshadowing you in the car? Have you ever experienced this? Oh, come on, if you haven't, please. Please, I invite you today to return to your first love. Go back to worship. Go back to worship. Focusing on Him. You know, Sunday morning when we come here, turn your phone off. Just because distraction. When you go pray, sometimes if I'm in my office or I'm at the house or I want to worship, I turn my phone off. Because there's something about when I'm ready to grab my guitar or be on the piano or whatever, and then Haiti's calling. I got 3 calls from Haiti right away. And those are the people that I've been trying to get a hold in the past 24 hours. Cut off all the distractions. Give Jesus all your devotion in worship, worshiping Him. You know the worst thing is? You know, we were singing, I will worship you, Lord, only you, Lord. Sometimes some people might be like, well, we sing this too long. Why do we keep repeating this for 5 minutes? You don't understand worship. There's something about being in Father's feet, at Father's feet, laying down, sitting on Abba's feet, and wait on Him. To be like, Jesus, I worship you. I bless your name. Oh. And the more you do that, you open up your heart, and He comes. Oh, I can't explain it to you. I'm trying. He comes. It's my experience. He comes with peace. He comes and restores me. He comes and heals me. If I'm struggling with whatever I'm struggling with, you know, sometimes the burden of ministry, is just too much. I'm like, okay, Lord, I really need you. And I don't pray, I just worship Him. King Jesus, I love you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then He comes. Sometimes I cry, I laugh. We got to go back to worship. You got to go back to worship. Worship Him in private. How do you return to your first love? I charge you today, guys. Make worship a priority. Make worship a priority. I listen to other music. I love jazz. I love reggae. I love blues. You might like different other music, style of music. I do listen to them. But do you know, if you check me out, I have some song that's just ministering to me. This week there was one song. I listened to it all week. I put it on repeat. Doesn't bother me. I'm like, I can't get enough of it. I'm like, there's a miracle that needs to happen in my heart. I feel like there's someone I need to love again. That's why we're still on earth. We're still on earth. As long as we're on earth, we'll need a miracle in our hearts. We'll need to grow in loving people. And the more I love God, the easier it's going to be for me to love people. The easier it's going to be for me to forgive people. You know forgiveness? We will have to forgive until we see Jesus face to face. Accept that. Prayer. Each aspect of prayer is designed to remind you of your dependence on God. You know, once a month, I call for a prayer meeting here. And I'm going to say it again. I encourage you to come, but it's more like you should come. When I call for a prayer meeting, drag your body. if you feel like you can't be. The worship team, I challenge the worship team to be in our prayer meeting. The sound people, camera people. When we say, okay, church, come together to pray. Make it a priority to pray. Why? Because prayer will kindle your fire for Jesus. A church that's not praying is a dead church. As much as it is impossible to be alive without breathing, it's completely impossible to be a Christian without prayer life. And I'm not talking about, Jesus, thank you for the food, thank you God for this day, amen. No, that's not prayer. And you don't know how to pray? Well, guess what? Come, I'll show you how to pray. We pray the word of God. We do warfare prayer. Dedication prayer. Prayer in one accord. That's why God set up the teachers in the church to teach you. You don't feel like praying? I tell you, tell yourself, I need prayer. Wake up in the morning. Wake up early. If you have to go to work at 6 in the morning, discipline yourself to wake up at 5 in the morning to pray and be with Father. Because if you don't, this world will eat you alive. You got to have a prayer life. Bring your petition to God. Bring to mind the spiritual, emotional, and physical need that each of you face. When you pray, do you only pray and ask God and tell God for your trouble? You know, some people associate prayer with telling God what I want. I mean, how would you like it for me to have a relationship with you? Every time I talk to you, I come, I say, JD, you know what, man? I need $20 today. You know, and tomorrow morning I got to go out for breakfast. That's going to cost me $13, okay? By the way, you know what? I think my car needs new tires. Okay, JD's being a good brother. He's like, oh, cool, no problem. There you go, brother. The next, so I go 3 months. He never hear from me. 3 months later, I come, JD, man, how you doing? Guess what, man? My electricity is off. I need money to pay. Come on, JD. You're such a good brother. You're such a good friend. Eventually, he's going to get rid of me. I don't know if you have those people in your life. The only thing they need is your stuff. They don't want relationship. How do you feel? If you like me, you know what I feel? I feel when they call, oh, man, now what? Now, what else they want? Prayer is communicating with God. And how would you communicate without a relationship? So therefore, that's why it doesn't make sense for people who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus and they say, well, yeah, we'll pray to Jesus. To who? Prayer is communicating, and communication begins in relationship. Bring your request to God. Confess your unworthiness in prayer to God. And give Him thanks. And then when you pray, quiet yourself. We don't like that. It's busy life. I tell you, it takes a lot of discipline to quiet your mind. I say, all right, let's try. Let's quiet our mind right now. 5 seconds into it, your brain said, I forgot to feed the dog. And everything else you need to do, your brain start going there. It's okay. You keep quiet your mind. The discipline to quiet our mind before Jesus. You see, when you grow in prayer, God will find you to intercede for others. Intercede for others. Standing in the gap for other people. If I have a line of communication with Father, where he talks to me, I talk with him. We deal with our stuff. I deal with my stuff with him. And then there's gonna be time where I can stand in the gap. Because the word says, God says, I'm looking for someone who might stand in the gap. Intercede for people. Well, how would you stand in the gap when you always have to deal with all so much? That's why Jesus wants to set us free. You know, the next one is Bible study. See, Bible study, I put Bible study in there. And the reason I put Bible study is sometimes when people hear about Bible study, they think about going to a Bible study. Do you study the Bible by yourself? I hope you do. And if you didn't, used to, you need to study the Word. Believe it. Read it. When I tell you something here, go home, take notes. I know Nancy takes lots of notes. And if I'm wrong, she'll tell me too. Take notes. Make sure the preacher or what you hear is biblically founded. Don't take my word for it. See, I heard pastor said this and that. You know, go online, listen to this sermon again. Go on our website, listen to it again. Verify. Write it down. Put the word in your heart. Bible study. Devote yourself to Bible study. Home groups or cell groups. Find a home group. Giving. You know, give yourself. Jesus instructed his disciple, freely you have received, freely give. I actually have had a couple verses up there. Do you have them? One of the verses, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Oh, I like that. It says, cry out. You remember your baby? Oh, your kid's baby. You remember your kids were baby? There are times you remember that little annoying cry. And sometimes you might just take a little more, a couple minutes just to wait. Or maybe you have to mix the milk to give it to them. And it's only like a couple seconds and that kid just make it to another level of cry. Where she's just like crying her guts out. Why? Because that baby is in desperate need for the milk that would nourish. Cry out. Cry out for the milk. The pure milk. This is my prayer and this is my charge for you. Jesus says you stop loving at first. You stop loving me. Therefore, you stop loving people. But how do we go back to loving him? Remember, live a life of worship. Worship him. May your life be an expression of worship. Be in prayer. Bible study. Be involved in a home group. And giving. When I say giving, I'm not necessarily talking about giving money. Because I know there are people that gives. They think, well, because they give, then they fulfill their thing with Jesus. No. God is more interested in your heart than what you can give him. He wants your heart. He wants your relationship. But also, don't let your possession be your idol. We sing earlier, right? I will bow down before you, only you. And the best way to make sure you're not so attached to your money, give it away. Now, I'm going to balance what I said. When I say give it away, with wisdom. But you know what I mean. Because some of us, we love our money so much, we're stingy. We love it so much. You think giving 15% to God's work is a lot. You're making $5,000, giving $500. You're like, man, that's a lot of money. I need more than $5,000, let me tell you. By giving, by donating your time, You know, this is, when I, like I said, it's not just money. It's also your time, like people that serve this ministry. And for you guys who comes early, the worship team, the musicians, you know, the camera people, the projector, all of you who serve, give your time to mow the lawn, help taking care of the building. This is all including giving. What can I do? What can I give? Serving others. Or fasting. Fasting. It doesn't have to be food. Fast something that would remind you you need Jesus. Fast something that reminds you, oh, I need Jesus. You know, maybe fast your phone for 3 days. Fast TV for 3 weeks. Saying, in this house, guys, we're not turning on the TV for 3 weeks. Mom, why? You know what? Every time we want to watch TV, we're going to be reminded how much we're desperate for Jesus. And then you're going to realize how much TV you watch. Every time we want to watch a movie, we're going to play a game as family. You see? It's just a simple example. It's not law. But I'm just talking about, I could go on and on when it comes to things you can do to rekindle your love for Jesus. Rekindle your love for Jesus. You see, Christ called the church to repent. And this morning, I call the same thing. I remind you the word of Jesus. If you find yourself in the position, this position, if you can testify, man, my love for Jesus could be better. My devotion for Jesus could be better. I invite you to repent. Repent. And how do you repent? You stop doing the things you were doing, and you start doing the things you know that will rekindle your love for Jesus. If you have sin in your life, confess them. Turn away from them. Guys, Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for a pure church. Holiness. You must be holy. For God is holy. Holy in all you do. He knows you. He knows how weak you feel. He knows. That's one thing I love about my Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He knows how I feel. And I go to him, I'm like, man, God, today I really don't get it. I'm really discouraged, Lord. Don't be religious with Jesus. Don't be religious. Be real. Jesus, I need you to change the heart of my husband, heart of my wife. I can't take it anymore, Lord. And then you trust. Okay? You keep trusting him. For it is impossible to please God without faith. You trust. You pray, you trust. You pray, you trust. Lord, I need a miracle in my family. I need a miracle in this situation. You pray, and then you trust. So, conclusion. If you have left your first love for people and the Lord, the best thing you can do is repent. I'm a very people person. God created me like that. I love people. But I also get hurt by people. I mean, in the American culture, we have an independent mindset where it's like, and this, it's not a kingdom mindset, where when someone is dealing with something or they need help, people don't want to let other people know they need help. You know, it's that individualistic, oh, I can do it. I don't need your help. You see, in the kingdom, we don't live like that. If I need your help, we're brothers, right? I tell you, I need your help. And it should be the same thing. But other culture, people take advantage of that. Especially, I mean, here too. Because sometimes you're so good to someone, you're giving your help, you're giving your money, you help them out. Guess what they do? Take advantage of your goodness. But how do you deal with that? How do you deal with people taking advantage of you because you're giving yourself? Well, I'll tell you, you don't pull your legs back. That's not what you do. You learn from your mistake. You learn. You still love them. You just don't set yourself so they can take advantage of it again. There's something they say in English, right? Fool me once. It's on me, right? Fool me twice. No, is it once it's on you? The second time it's on me. So therefore, we owe everybody love. But should we trust everybody? Until they prove themselves trustworthy. That's the Bible. Jesus says, the word says, be careful not to trust in men. Don't put your trust in men. So you can trust somebody, but that person needs to make sure to prove themselves trustworthy. You know, some of us people, person, it's a lot easier for people to take advantage of us. But we learn, right? We learn. And what do we learn? You love them no matter what. You forgive them. But you very, 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 you be very careful. Right? Be very careful. Why? Because we cannot love God unless we love people. Amen? So there's a song I want to sing. It's a song that Kendra and I, we've been singing all week. I asked Kendra to come, and I'm going to play it on the keys. And let this song be your prayer this morning. Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one. That's how it goes. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the words. I have the words on the, right? Thank you, Lord. For the one. Let this be your prayer. This is our prayer this morning. Thank you, guys. A call to return to our first love. And we say, Lord, help us. If you have ears to hear, listen to the word of the Lord. We need God's grace. You might not know this song, but pray these words with me. Help me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one for whom you loved and gave your son. For humanity, increase my love. Help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, we would feel the Father's love. Oh, how you love us. From the homeless to the famous in between, you formed us, you made us carefully. Cause in the end, children, so help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lines and sees the truth, so that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, would feel the Father's love. Even in just a smile, you would feel the Father's love. Pray that again.
Help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the lies and sees the truth. So that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love.
Amen. You see, this is our heart's cry as a church, as God's people, that we would be able to love no matter what. You know, and we can't do it on our own. So we ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Amen. Let us stand. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for the work you're doing in our hearts. And Lord, as we go forth from here, Jesus, I bless your people. I bless them. I bless their going, their coming. I ask that your favor would go before them, and the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding would rule their hearts, not only for today, but forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have a good day. Make it a great week.